I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, my colleague and friend. And we welcome Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute to take us into history. 8th century A.D., the Tang Dynasty, the Anxi Disturbance. What did Russia think when Prigozhin sent his battalions up M4 towards Kremlin? They thought of several events in the past, 1991 or 1917. What did the Chinese think? Charles, a very good evening to you. What was the Anxi disturbance that might have wiped out a sixth of all humanity? Might have. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, I mean, it was, disastrous in terms of the human and economic costs. But essentially, the Tang Dynasty under the Emperor Shenzong was doing extremely well at that period. And economically, they were considering much more freedom of economy. It was a dynamic, multicultural society. And Shenzong had a concubine, the voluptuous and beautiful Yang Guifei, who was of the Yang family that was the family of the previous dynasty, the Sui. You know, quite a common thing to marry someone from the previous dynasty to sort of dampen bad feelings over the change. And somehow or other, a gentleman called An Lushan came into the favor of the concubine Yang, who adopted him as her son. And the concubine convinced Emperor Shenzong to give him the right to control a considerable portion of the dynasty and 164,000 troops. Subsequently, this gentleman who, you know, had no connection to the Tang Dynasty, really, we don't even know where he came from, but apparently was a figure that was able to ingratiate himself to the emperor, and who the emperor built as a result a beautiful mansion with gold and silver and every modern convenience of the 8th century available in the Tang Dynasty. Anyway, he then rebelled, taking advantage of natural disasters, discontent over the Tang Dynasty's extravagance, ethnic tensions, and staged a coup against the Tang Dynasty and established the Yan Dynasty. It only went through from 756 to 762, I think, but was disastrous in terms of the overall effect, as you say, enormous loss of life and general disruption to that order. But I think what the Chinese are looking at is the idea that Putin did not have full control of his military and entrusted a figure that he had befriended, evidently an excellent chef, to have considerable military force, you know, under the Russian government. And so I think what it's telling, what the Chinese are saying, is essentially the fact that the Chinese Communist Party is in control of the army. The army is not a national army, but an army of the party, that they maintain extremely strong control over the function of the army, rotate the commanders so none of them develop any particular connection to a locality, is the right policy compared to Putin's foolishness comparable to the tragedy of the decline of the Tang Dynasty, you know, which wasn't that long ago in the great scope of 5,000 years of Chinese history at the 8th century.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, I found this sort of curious that the Tang Dynasty is considered to be the height of Chinese culture, and yet you have this mass bloodletting. But going to a little bit events more recently, in 1971 or so, Lin Biao, who was the head of the Chinese military, tried a coup and failed. And that seems to have scarred the mentality of current Communist Party leaders, always worried about control of the gun. Do you think that these tales of An Lushan, do they reverberate? They reverberate with the Chinese people. We know that because of social media. But do they also strike resonance in the senior Communist Party leaders?
Oh, I think that Mr. Xi thinks a lot about history and these kinds of events and tries to relate them to how he can maintain his own power. So I think there's no question that the An Lushan rebellion is writ large in the minds of the communist leaders and writ large in social media, you know, of young people, younger people in China, who immediately make the connection. So I think the potential for a government which gets out of touch with the military power is certainly something that people do think about. And I think that if Prigozhin was successful in removing an awful Russian leader like Putin, that a lot of people in China might see a parallel to the possibility of Mr. Xi being dislodged if there could be some kind of military discontent that reflects the concerns of people in China that Xi is way out of touch with global and domestic realities and really has to go.
Not so long ago, Charles, I made certain that I didn't misstate. Charlemagne was born in the middle of the 8th century, so he's a lad when this takes place in Tang. And Charlemagne wouldn't unite elements of Western Europe for 40 more years while the Tang Dynasty was at the epitome of Chinese culture and civilization. It happens to the great and the small. So the puzzle here is, Xi, in making generals swear allegiance not only to the Chinese Communist Party, but to him, is that personally, is that, and changing his uniform all the time from Air Force to Navy to the Army, is that his anxiety about this Anxi event?
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that he is, you know, one of his most important roles, maybe arguably his most important role, is the chairman of the Central Military Commission. You know, there are a lot of meetings where he gets all the generals together and makes sure that everybody is compliant with his line. But I do observe from watching the Chinese news that we're getting much, much more intense ideological tightening going on in China today, which suggests to me that Xi is worried and he's really trying to keep everything as close at hand and to enhance his own charismatic power against the economic and other failings of the regime that we're seeing now. It's becoming much more xenophobic, becoming much more nervous about anyone who has money and therefore the potential to rally alternative power to Mr. Xi. And I think that Xi is running scared. And, you know, when I looked at the face of Putin when he announced what he'd be doing about the Prigozhin mutiny, it looked an awful lot like the face of a lot of Soviet-backed leaders before their client state leadership collapsed. And I'm wondering if Mr. Xi is also in his heart feeling the same way, uncertain. The world is changing in ways that don't favor his continued autocratic rule and alliance with the monster Putin.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, you talked about the intense indoctrination, ideological indoctrination required by Xi Jinping. Do you see China going into another cultural revolution?
Well, certainly the rhetoric of it, which is to put Xi Jinping in your head, to put Xi Jinping's thought into your heart, to put Xi Jinping's intentions into your soul, certainly is resonant with the Cultural Revolution as I experienced it when I was a much younger man. It does seem to be heading in that direction. It does seem to be about asserting more control of Mr. Xi's charismatic leadership over every aspect of society, whether it's military, whether it's economic, whether it's social and political. And I don't think that Chinese people are going to put up with replaying this movie that they've seen before. And I really feel that while he looks strong on the outside, it could be that his leadership is quite hollow on the inside.
One detail in the mutiny, Prigozhin mutiny, is that the Russian General Armageddon, Surovikin, has not been seen for days. According to the media reports, it's non-transparent. And Surovikin is regular army. He's a hero to the army. He's fought in several of the campaigns. Is there any indication that Xi is moving against his senior generals, anybody who's too famous?
Oh, well, I mean, we have seen the purging of the senior military officials in the earlier days of Xi's regime. I'm not hearing anything about it now, but, you know, we really have very, very little information about what goes on in the People's Liberation Army. I think Gordon would agree with me on that point. So what may be happening could expose itself quite suddenly and unexpectedly if, in fact, there is discontent that the military feels that they have to take charge and remove Xi and try and restore China back to a state where it's not declining economically and suffering so much popular discontent within China, and of course the outflow of capital and people with money who are seeing the writing on the wall and deciding that they might as well just cut their losses and emigrate to places like the United States.
Charles Burton, MacDonald Laurier Institute, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, on Xi Disturbance. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.